The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Gene, today's podcast is all about being lazy as a small business owner. It's something that's kind of the opposite. When you think of a small business owner, you don't usually think of them as being lazy. And frankly, like, if you're going to start any of these small businesses, you're not lazy. The person that wrote in asked, what's a small business that I can start from home when I have no skills? So basically what they're saying is, they want to start the business without an office. So they don't want to start like a coffee shop or something.
Right.
And they don't have any skills, meaning they don't have to go get like an MBA, right, a CPA, a law degree, a medical degree.
Right.
So after we hear from our sponsor, we're going to run down some of our ideas for the kind of business you could start from home with very little education or money involved. Right.
This podcast is brought to you by The Hartford. When the unexpected strikes, The Hartford strikes back for over 1 million small business customers with property, liability, and workers' compensation insurance. Check out The Hartford Small Business Insurance at thehartford.com.
Okay, we're back. So I'm going to start off with one that I was really surprised by when I did this research. They're on-demand retail businesses. You actually don't need any skills for this, and you don't need a lot of startup money. What it means is you start an online store. So you say you're selling t-shirts or some type of clothing or artwork. You contract out to a business that's going to create those items on demand, and then they also ship them for you.
Nice.
So you literally don't have to do anything except the marketing.
Yeah, of course, you have to find customers.
You have to find customers, so you have to come up with the idea. So I know someone who sells t-shirts. She has a dog. We haven't talked about dogs in a while.
We're going to in a minute.
She has a dog. She loves those little hot dog dogs. What are they called? Those German Dachshunds.
Yeah, Dachshunds. Yeah.
And she created a bunch of t-shirts for people that love Dachshunds.
Nice.
And she like drew out the design. She sent it off to this company. They made it better. They made it into a real design. She chose t-shirt materials. This place literally drop ships the t-shirts to her. They come to her house. She opens the box. She gets orders in off her Etsy site. And then she mails them out with like really cute tissue paper. I know this because I ordered from her for a Christmas gift for someone else.
Right.
And she's making a couple thousand dollars a month doing that.
Wow, that's fantastic.
She has a very popular Instagram account, and she gets a lot of people following her that also love that type of dog. So is that something you could support yourself on? Maybe not, but it could at least be a side hustle that grows into a bigger business.
So, you know, a couple comments on that, and I think a lot of the other businesses we'll talk about. I'm not sure any of these businesses, well, they could be like a livelihood that you can actually support yourself, maybe. But I do want to caveat, when we started this off with businesses, you can start with no skills. Running a business takes a skill. Like this woman that you're talking about, she's hustling, right, to doing this.
Oh,
this
is what I mean by that is you don't need a certain type of education.
Yeah, I understand.
You don't need a degree to do these.
But you have to be skillful in what you do, and you have to do it well.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, she's a great marketer. That's her skill.
Right. Good for her.
All right. What's on your list?
You mentioned about talking about dogs. Pet sitting is a great business that you can have for yourself, right? You don't need an office. I mean, if you have a backyard, if your skill happens to be you're good with dogs, you know, then
or cats.
So that's certainly a skill. And pet sitting is people are willing to pay. You can do that during the day. You can board pets, you know, over the weekend. You can charge for that, and you don't need any specific certifications or ability to do that.
I mean,
so pet sitting.
You go to other people's homes too. So you really are leaving your home to just go to someone else's home to do that.
Or you could do it at your home.
And
you board again. You know, again, if you've got some outdoor space or a big basement, and you want to offer to people, they go away on vacations and they need a place to board their dog with that's special love and care. That's the place you can do it. So pet sitting is a good one.
Okay, my next one is a home inspector. Now, you do need to take a class for this and pass a test, but it's not like getting a law degree.
Right.
And what you do is you find some real estate agents you can work with. They refer you to their clients, and you go and inspect homes. And I worked with a home inspector. He showed up in jeans that were like ripped, like construction boots, a hoodie, and like basically no materials on him, like a notebook.
Sure.
In his like beat up old truck. And he did a home inspection, and then he followed me to an ATM, and I gave him $300.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
And he spent an hour with me, if that. So that's $300 for an hour's worth of work. Now, you do have to leave your home, and you do need to have a few skills, but I think you can take a class for that.
You can. And again, if you're already as a hobby, you're good with, stuff around the house, you know what I mean? Or understanding systems, or have got some background in construction or building. It's a fantastic little business that you can have for yourself. And there's a big need for that.
Okay. What's next?
So look, let's do an obvious one. Uber driver, right? You know, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, your skill needs to be driving. You need to have a car to do this. But Uber, Lyft, you know, any of the delivery services that are out there that are always looking for people to drive for them. Being a driver is a low skilled work and very much in demand.
Yeah.
And by the way, for relatively, you know, low barrier of entry with just getting a license to drive bigger vehicles or a truck, man, Elizabeth, the trucking industry are dying for drivers.
Really?
I mean, the industry is booming, and they have a huge lack of good, you know, experienced drivers, or at least people that have that background. So if you're willing to leave your home for a couple of weeks and drive long distances, you can pick up a pretty penny for doing that and then take a few weeks off. So it's a relatively low skilled, low barrier of entry.
Are you employed as an independent
contractors?
Okay.
They're all independent contractors.
Okay.
Yep.
Next on my list is virtual assistant.
Oh,
so
it's a good one.
You could do this. What I've seen people do that have been successful at this is there are companies that employ a bunch of virtual assistants. You could go work for them, but you're not going to make as much money going to work for someone else as you would going to work for yourself. What you need to do is say, I'm going to be a virtual assistant to social media influencers.
Right.
And then you learn everything you can about social media influencers. And then you market yourself to them as, hey, I could take care of all of this for you. I could take all this off your plate. Or you market yourself as a virtual assistant to startup founders. And then you're going to be doing a lot of like booking restaurants and travel and specializing in that. Or you could market yourself as a virtual assistant to just general small business owners. Like maybe they don't have the need or the money to hire an actual personal assistant, but they could use someone to book their travel or take care of like a little work with their bookkeeper or something like that. You really need to like find your niche and do that. You can't just go out and be like, I'm a virtual assistant. So figure out an industry that you're interested in and then learn all you can about it. But you don't need any skills for that. I mean, you need skills as far as marketing yourself.
Sure.
And you need to be able to pick up.
Hopefully you're organized, right? Now, those are skills, but like you said, not like a whole lot of money you have to spend on education or certification.
Yeah, and you can do it out of your home.
That's great. That's great. Okay. U.S. Senator. Apparently, one doesn't need many skills to do that. With a little bit of effort, it's a 6-year job. You know, I don't even think you have to come to work that much.
You have to market yourself.
Yeah, you have to market yourself a little bit. But okay, I'm just kidding. USA. How about being a tutor is a good job, right?
That's a wonderful job.
Yeah, so being a tutor, I mean, again, you know, no one's saying that you have to tutor some kid in advanced physics, unless maybe you're good at advanced physics. But there are a lot of children, a lot of adults that need help with reading. Literacy is a big area of need in this country.
Your wife does that, doesn't
My wife
she?
Does that, yes. Well, she's a literacy teacher, so that's her job. But then she's done a little tutoring after school as well, and she's inundated with requests for tutoring that she can't fulfill.
Oh, wow.
Because a lot of times it's people from within the school, or she just doesn't have the time to do it all. She could go and quit her job and be a full-time tutor and be busy 40 hours a week doing
and
it.
And make as much
she
money.
Could charge over $100 an hour for her tutoring. Now, that's in downtown Philadelphia. So you could probably charge more in New York and maybe less in St. Louis.
Okay.
But being a tutor is, and for either math, SATs, specific types of tests for high schools or for younger kids and adults that need literacy.
And to make that into a business, she could hire other tutors.
She could if she wanted to do that. But this gets back to, listen, if you can charge $100 an hour for tutoring and you can get 30 hours a week, right? I mean, that's more money than you would make most school teachers make when you add it up, you know? So not a bad little business to
and
be
once
in.
Once you start doing that, you could think about, okay, what could I do to earn some passive income as well? I've already have clients.
Right.
So you could start like a YouTube channel when you give like little lessons
Look
on how
you.
To do things.
You could have, now, she would disagree with you on that because she feels you have to have face-to-face to do the kind of tutoring that she does.
She's not thinking about making money.
That's
though.
Exactly. You and me, I'm telling you, Elizabeth, we need to talk to her because I have the same opinion as you. Are you kidding? Put this on YouTube and charge subscriptions.
Or a downloadable workbook
Sure.
or something.
Why not?
Okay, next on my list is a courier service. You kind of hit on this before with the Uber driver.
Yep.
These are people that it could be local or long distance. You're currying things. So let's say someone's like, I don't really want to use FedEx because they're so expensive and I really just need to make sure this gets there. This is probably only cost effective if you live in a big city. But you can make a lot of money couriering things around like New York, Boston, Chicago, Los Angeles. Maybe not Los Angeles.
No, definitely.
Bike. What's next on your list?
How about this? Being a freelance editor is always good. Now, as you know, I write for Small Biz Ahead. I write frequently for, every week. I'm assuming you're publishing my my blogs.
Gene's blogs get a ton of comments, usually people telling him he's wrong.
Yes, that's correct. That usually seems to be the general consensus. But I write for a bunch of different places, well-known places, right? I mean, Forbes and Inc., and I write every day. Am I not allowed to mention?
Okay. No, you are.
Okay. So I write for all these different places. And the reason why I mention those names is because these companies are trying to get content out there as inexpensively as possible, and editors as employees cost money, and they often parcel out work. They outsource work to editors, freelance.
So I'm going to defend this because this
Go
is
ahead.
Part of my job.
Sure.
But you can't just like any Joe Schmo off the street can't be like, oh, I'm going to edit this.
I agree. It depends on it's just like any Joe Schmo can't be a virtual assistant.
Yeah.
Any Joe Schmo can't be a good Uber driver, in my opinion. I mean, I think you need some skills that are just innate within you. There are some people that are just good with words and can be good at editing.
They know advanced grammar.
Correct. Or can take like an online class or something relatively inexpensive to kind of hone those skills together. So you're absolutely right. It's like any other profession. It's like any other business. There's always skills involved, but I think it's a low barrier to entry. And I think there's a lot of work out there for freelance editors. There's a lot of websites and publications and magazines and newspapers, both online and offline, that are looking for help.
Definitely. Okay, next on my list is debt collection. So this is not a very expensive business to start up. And I know whenever we talk about this, Gene gets very upset. All the clients who just don't pay you.
Yeah.
This is the kind of company that you go out and you collect those debts. You send people very threatening letters.
Right.
You call them, you harass them. Now, I wouldn't want to do this. I don't think Gene would want to do this.
No.
But this actually makes good money.
It does. And you charge with the way debt collectors work. By the way, this isn't like an episode of The Sopranos, you have to walk around with a baseball bat. And threaten people. That's not what it's about. It's about, like you said, harassing via email and mail. You're sending letters and there's a bunch of templates that you can follow to do that. And a lot of people do get scared after a while it works to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And whatever you can collect, what you do is you take up the 30 to 50% of what you collect, because for a business owner like me, 50% of nothing is still nothing. So I'd rather share in the spoils.
It's a very profitable business.
Correct.
So if you have the stomach for that, or you can hire people to do it.
Okay. I've got one more.
Go ahead.
Okay. Being an eBay salesperson. And what I mean by that is everybody's got junk in their houses. Oh, everybody's got stuff that they want to get rid of. So it is none of us, have the time, to do this or whatever. So I remember when eBay first started up thinking like it's kind of a cool business. Some people have learned to do this successfully. You go around to your neighbors or people in the community, whatever, and you go to the house and you offer to look around and find whatever junk that they want to get rid of. and say, we'll put this on my eBay store, and whatever I sell, you get 20% of or 50% of whatever you work out with them, and you sell junk on eBay.
Can you imagine going around to your neighbors?
I know. It probably wouldn't be my neighbors. I would probably pick another community to do that. But a business is a business, and if you're doing it the right way and you set it up in a credible way and it's professional
like
and all that.
It's like that show, American Pickers or something.
Kind of like that. Yeah. You got to start doing that, and here we go. Kim Kardashian got her start. She was selling stuff online. She used to go and reorganize people's closets.
Yeah.
And then she would resell stuff on eBay online.
You know, I think also Felicia Sullivan, who we just had on a couple episodes ago, when eBay started, she started a little eBay store. Mm-hmm. And she was selling high-end fashion that she would buy at discounted rates because she lived in Manhattan and would sell it for full price on almost full price on eBay.
Right.
So that is a great.
So you're providing a service for people and there's a value add there.
So my final business idea actually dovetails very nicely with that. Mine is junk removal.
Mm.
So a lot of people, this is especially, I think this is a very, very profitable.
Isn't that the same thing as the eBay idea that I had?
No,
junk removal?
That stuff isn't junk. It's someone's trash to treasure.
Well, you haven't seen some of my stuff.
Junk,
though.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have a parent, they have like, they're getting older. They have like a huge house. They never moved. And then they pass away. And then you're like, oh my God, I have to clean this house out.
Mm.
So a huge industry now are professional organizers who only focus on that market. Mm. People who are downsizing when they're still alive or working with that person's children to downsize their house.
Okay.
And kind of organize what's left. Oh, we're going to sell this. We're going to, you know, consign this. We're going to give this to Aunt Susie. And then the rest of it is junk removal.
Okay.
So people who come around and they have one of those huge, God, what is it called?
What? Like a auction?
No, like a
state sale.
What you throw stuff into?
Like, oh, I don't know, a bin, like a a dumpster.
A dumpster.
Yes.
So all you need to do is you buy a dumpster and you're like, hey, I'm the junk removal guy or girl. Mm. And then you go into people's homes and you help them haul out their trash. So this is the same thing as 1-800.
Good idea.
1-800-JUNK.
Right.
But if you can aim it at people in a certain niche, like, oh, or market, like, you know, it's for help for parents when their kids are like moving out of the house and they left all of this behind.
Sure.
Like, weren't you telling me that you found behind some piece of furniture your sons had thrown like a bunch of bottles or something?
Yeah, it's a long story. It was a bunch of Gatorade bottles on the top of our
they
entertainment
just
center.
Them and like launched them to the top.
There was like 100 of them, literally. Yeah.
So you just pick a different market and you're like, oh, we do that kind of junk removal.
Right.
You can charge even more if you do especially, like if you clean out like people's garages or like car parts, that type of stuff. Anything involving chemicals, you can charge more than that.
I like it.
You could start a business just called like basement clean out. And people that come around, you go through it and see if you can sell any of it in your eBay store.
Yeah.
And then you help people like kind of organize their basements.
None of these businesses are easy because nothing in life is
easy.
No,
there are a lot of sweat equity.
Yeah, everything takes work and what's good. But again, we're trying to get into, you know, a business at a low cost or no cost without any certifications or a lot of education or whatever that you can start up really out of your house or just with your own sweat.
Yeah.
And any of the ones that we talked about today, I think are all doable.
Okay, to recap, here is our list, possibly not in order, but we're going to get them all in. Mine was on-demand retail business.
Pet sitting.
Home inspection.
Editing.
Virtual assistant.
Being a tutor.
Courier service.
Being an Uber or a truck driver.
Debt collection.
eBay sales.
And my last one was junk removal.
And mine was being a U.S. senator.
We'll be right back with Gene's Word of Brilliance.
Did you know that increasing customer retention by as little as 5% can improve your profitability by as much as 75%? If you're looking to increase your customer retention and profits, check out Small Biz Ahead's new ebook, Keep Customers Coming Back for More. This ebook will teach you how you can use the reciprocity principle to increase sales, how to increase social proof to help drive customer interest, and why creating a fear of missing out can encourage customers to buy from you. Head over to smallbizahead.com and click the link in the show notes to download your free copy today.
Okay, we're back. I always say that. Okay,
we're back. Oh, I've got a great word of brilliance.
Okay.
You guys are going to love this one today. You ready? I know you don't know this one. Ready for the word?
Yes.
Nomo Robo.
No more robocalls?
No, Nomo Robo. N-O-M-O R-O-B-O. And yes, you're right. It's no more robocalls.
I say no more robocalls and you say no and then repeat it.
No, it's called Nomo Robo is the name of the app that you want to get. Are you getting a lot of robocalls? Do you get these robocalls on your phone?
You know what's, okay, so I have a 917 area code
right.
number.
And you get spoofed calls from other people in the 917 area code, am I right?
This is how, this doesn't work on me though, because I lived in Manhattan when I first got my Verizon number.
Right.
And then I moved to Connecticut. So now when I get calls, I expect every area code to be
203,
like 203, you know, right. or 860.
Right, right.
Or I have some friends in 617.
So that's good. So you've got it sort of built in, you know.
So when I get a call from another 917-209 number, I'm like, that's spam.
So that's good for you. For the rest of us, peasants, right, that don't have, didn't live in Manhattan for a number of years with a 917 area code. I get calls all the time, right? You know, and actually, I'd like to say that I used to get a lot of robocalls all the time.
Did you engage with them?
No. Usually, the worst thing you can do is pick up on the calls because a lot of them are computer generated. You ever pick up the call and there's nobody on the other line and you're like, what the heck is going on? The reason why is because there are these services that are sending out all these millions of calls just to see if there's a live person on the other line. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, there's a live person here, so this is a good number. And then they sell that number to somebody else who's then going to be calling you in the future. So I get a lot of those. I get a lot of them for like, God knows, Medicare, health insurance, all sorts of whatever. And then I get a lot of them that are, I know, sad. And then I get ones that are spoofed from like my local area code, which is a 610 area code. It's like the same, you know, whatever. Anyway, it was driving me nuts. And they would call 8-10 times in a row. I mean, it was like relentless. So anyway, I researched around. I did a lot of research and I found a great app. And the app is called Nomo Robo. It's on the App Store for iTunes as well as on for I have a Samsung S8. It's $20 a year. They've been around now for a couple of years.
They have
this huge database of bad numbers that they are tracking somehow. So any call that comes into my phone first gets checked. They intercept it and quickly check it against the database. And if it matches anything in the database, I never get it. It just goes, I never receive it, period. Like no voicemail, no nothing. It just goes away. If it doesn't match it, but they think it might be a suspected robocall, I'll get a little dialogue screen saying potential issue. Do you want to answer this or have it go to your voicemail or report it? And I can answer that. But since getting this Nomo Robo, which was about, I don't know, a month ago, I get maybe one or two calls get through during the course of like a week at most.
Wow.
Is almost eliminated all robocalls. It's amazing.
Your phone is for your business and your
I have one phone, so all my calls get directed to my phone.
You're not one of those who walks around with
multiple phones. No. I just have one phone and that's it. So everything gets directed to that phone and it was becoming a big issue and Nomo Robo solved it for me. So that's my word of brilliance.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love that.
Highly recommend it.
Totally recommend that. Okay, that's going to do it for us on this episode of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. We would love it if you would go to Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes, and leave us a review. Just search for Small Biz Ahead and leave us a review. Tell us what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show. Tell us what topics you want us to cover. If you have any questions, we would love to get your feedback so we can tailor the podcast to exactly what you would like it to be. Gene, thanks for being here.
That was awesome. See you, Elizabeth.
Bye.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Gene for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.